Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for Innovative Wellness Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, Innovative Wellness Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. Innovative Wellness Center. At
515-355-3200. Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mike McDowd. Not sure if Russ is going to join us today, but we're hoping he will be. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a sports trivia question. Today's trivia theme is, you ready for this? This is a long title. Choose the player who played on the given World Series champion team and later had their number retired by that club. All right, that is our trivia question. That's kind of an interesting one. All right, let's see here. In our next segment, we're going to introduce a special guest who's been on the show years ago, and our friend Mike McDowd, co-host here, got in touch with him, mostly because we want to talk, of course, about Willie Mays, because I think we had recorded a show, and then he passed away the next day, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I haven't had tears in my eyes for a long time over any sports athletes, but Willie was my favorite. In fact, when we were all kids, everyone, you know, you always chose number 24, and if you didn't get 24, you chose 3 for Babe Ruth. That's all. How old I am, you know?
You know, I chose 24 or 44.
Or 44, yeah. That's right. That, yeah, 44 Willie was for no. Willie McCovey here in the Bay Area. Let's see. We're also going to have some fun stories here. I know Mike and Pat are going to talk a little bit about the stadium in Alabama where Willie kind of got his start. All right. Do you want to say anything real quickly, Mike, before we have to cut to our break?
Yeah. Listen, kudos to the Tennessee Volunteers, NCAA baseball champions, first time ever, number one ranked team in America. They win a title. That's awesome. Good for the good old Rocky Top. And then, how about those Florida Panthers, baby? They finally got a Stanley Cup. Finally. Both teams in Florida have won Stanley Cups now. Guess what? All the California teams have won a Stanley Cup, except who? Who?
All of them. The Sharks.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Anaheim plays there, too. All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investment's exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities, providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowd. Mike, introduce our guest, please.
If I must, I will. Yeah, really thrilled to have our guest on here on Sports Econ 101. And a guy very familiar to the San Francisco Bay Area, the sports world. His name is Pat Gallagher. You may recognize that name. He was with the San Francisco Giants for 32 years. I'd like to say, Pat, you are not only a marketing genius, but you're an imagination guy. The things that you've come up with are remarkable. Your career is phenomenal. You and I have a great connection. My wonderful hero in life, Pat McDowd, really was so fond of you. And also another one of our good friends, Jack Boland, who's a champion in the advertising world, put us connectors. So I want to thank Jack and Pat. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. First and foremost, we're going to talk about your career and also about your friend. Listen, a lot of people may have said they met Willie Mays, but very few can say that they've actually known him, and very few others can say they're a friend of Willie Mays, and you were a friend for almost 50 years.
Well, Mike, thank you. It's nice to be on the show, and Edward, it's good to talk with you again. So, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's losing Willie is, you know, for those of us who got a chance to get to know him, it's still tough. So, but I mean, boy, talk about a great run. I mean, this guy and his flair for the dramatic, passing away 2 days before the big game. Willie would get a kick out of it. It's almost like it was like his final basket catch, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's what I love reading of these stories. And I can't remember the one that I read some years back, but then just recently I was reading in the newspaper. I mean, it was amazing how intelligent a player he was. Stuff like, you know, he had his cap purposely made a little smaller for two reasons. One, so when he ran around the bases, you know, his cap would fly off, and he goes, yeah, the fans love that. But also it potentially distracted the outfielders. And then also to run, I mean, he was a very fast runner, but to not be too fast because he wanted to draw a throw. So, I mean, just to know exactly how fast you need to run. And then he would watch these guys, you know, the opposing team prior to the game to see little flinches and stuff like in a catcher. I can't remember the story, but it was like knowing where to slide around home plate. I mean, just incredible.
It was instinctive for him. And I don't even know if he knows why that was the way it was, but it was. It was, and they say, you know, they talk about five tool baseball players, but, you know, Mays was really a six-tool guy because his instincts for the game really were sort of above other players.
Yeah. You know, it was great for us older folks who actually, you know, were fans and when we were kids got to actually watch him play, you know, and hit the home runs. Or yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, you know, it's almost 50 years. That's a long time to know a guy. We know about all the accolades of Willie Mays, the stats, the being a six-tool player. One of the reasons I want to invite you on today is I think it'd be really interesting to find out who Willie Mays was as a man. What was he like away from the game of baseball? You had a friendship. The conversations must be priceless.
Well, they were. And, you know, the thing about it is he was such a, there could be times when when I was sort of dealing with him when I was with the Giants, there was times when he could be difficult, but, you know, you sort of have to realize that his job in life was to be Willie Mays. Yeah. So he had to. He had his own way of sort of protecting himself. He had his own way of sort of dealing with people, or sort of deflecting things that he really didn't want to do or didn't. And sort of all the distractions that somebody who is that well known have, he had his own way of dealing with that. So he was not only a special player, he was a special person in how he regarded the game, and also he realized sort of what an icon he was, and he didn't disappoint.
You know, I got to say that part of the, you know, and I don't know how he, again, not here to ask him that question, but, you know, except for playing the 54 World Series, the only other time, if I remember correctly, was 62, and they lost a heartbreak to the Yankees. Other than that, they didn't get too close to getting in the World Series.
Well, you know, those famous Giants teams of the 60s that probably had, you know, the best players. I mean, you know, McCovey, Marichal, Gaylord Perry, all those guys. And they, unfortunately, they finished second so many different times. Yeah. And what was that all about? I mean, how does that happen? You know, in many of those years, they were playing a, you know, 154 game schedule. So lots of things can happen. But
they also didn't have the divisions the way they do now and the, and the playoffs. So kind of.
Well, it was terrible because for a marketing and sales guy like me, is that in those days, if your team was not playing well in April and May, you could pretty much write it off then. Whereas now, you know, most of the teams still have a chance. And you can debate how you feel about that, but still have a chance. I was looking at the standings today and, you know, they're pretty bunched up. The teams are. There's some bad ones, but there's teams that are heck, they can't write it off yet.
Yeah, makes for good baseball.
Yeah, it does.
In fact, the I remember 69 Mets. That was the first year that they actually had the division series, and they beat the Cubs to get into the World Series. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have gotten in.
Well, and that's true. And then, you know, and then the three divisions that came. I mean, the year that the Giants, you know, won 103 games, and we went down to L.A. to finish those last four games. And we won the last three, but lost the fourth game. And the Atlanta Braves wound up winning one more game. You know, for whatever reason, the Atlanta Braves were in the Western Division. So, I mean, look, these things happen. But it was a, you know, and I think even guys like Mays, who we brought him down to L.A. for those last games, sort of just as a, you know, as a good luck charm, I think.
You know, Pat, one of the things that, you know, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but I got to mention, because I don't really hear a lot of people talk about this, just how good of an athlete Willie Mays was. Played at Fairfield Industrial High School. He was a star basketball player, averaged 20 points per game, probably could have played college ball somewhere, and he was the high school quarterback, fullback, and punter. Talk about him. He wasn't just a, I mean, of course, he's one of the all-time greatest baseball players, if not the best. But quite an athlete, wasn't he?
Well, he could do everything well, and he was a natural. I mean, Willie Mays, at least I never saw him, and a lot of people say that, you know, he never worked out. But if you looked at him, he was like a statue. He was like chiseled. And also, if you shook hands with Willie Mays, his hand would actually wind up going up to about your wrist because his hands were so huge. in his house in Atherton. You go out in the garage and there's about 40 sets of golf clubs there. All have the fattest grips that you could possibly get. I mean, they were all given to him. All the bags have his names on them. But he was, you're right. Baseball may not have been his best sport, but that's the one that he's remembered for.
Go ahead, Edward.
No, I was just saying, how tall was he?
He wasn't, I don't think he was 6 feet tall. He was, I think, 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah, so I thought, yeah. Guard. Yeah.
Well, I think he may have realized that he may have had more potential. And I don't think he thought necessarily about, I'm going to make a living doing this. But he felt that maybe that was the best game where he could compete. I mean, he started playing baseball professionally when he was, 16 years old.
Yes, yeah. And the thing is, back then, you had to get a second job.
Yeah,
I mean, Ted Williams talked about that a lot. Tell you what, hey, guys, let's go to our first commercial trivia question here. Okay, the theme is choose the player who played on the given World Series champion team and later had their number retired by that club. That's our question, all right? And I'll even get this. First, let me say, the 1964 Cardinals. So I'm just gonna ask the question first, and if you guys don't get the answer, then I'll give you a multiple choice. All right. So the 1964 Cardinals. All right. So they win the World Series. Right. And then later they had their number. What player had their number retired by the club? All right. After that World Series, that's our trivia question. Got a little bit different there. Okay. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're gonna be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowd, our special guest, Pat Gallagher. All right, again, here's the trivia question theme. Choose the player who played on the given World Series championship team and then later had their number retired by that club. So first, 1964 Cardinals. Who do you think had their number retired after winning the World Series in 64 by the club? Number retired by the club. Okay. So now I'm going to, I'll give you a
Go ahead.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, it's a couple of them. I mean, it certainly could have been Bob Gibson. It could have been.
Okay. Well, let me give you, so here's the choices. Stan Musial, Ken Boyer, or Orlando Cepeda.
Well.
So again, we're not talking Hall of Fame. We're talking about
those guys. Those three. I don't know, Mike. I'm going to guess Stan Musial. I guess
I got to go with Stan the Man.
No, actually, Ken Boyer. He did so well in that World Series that they said, you know, we're going to retire this guy's number. So that's how our trivia question is going to work. Again, it's a little bit odd. You know, usually we have kind of normal questions. I saw this one and I go, this is kind of interesting. We'll do this one. All right, Mike, why don't you reintroduce our guest to the audience?
Yeah, absolutely thrilled to have our special guest, Pat Gallagher, longtime executive, sports guy with the San Francisco Giants, director of marketing, I believe, longtime with the Giants. I like to call him a sports genius marketing and imagination guy. I don't know if you've been called that before, but you've got this amazing imagination. Of course, I want to talk about your career, but we've been talking about the life and times of Willie Mays. Yes, we know about all the wonderful things he did on the field, but give us a glimpse of what Willie was like outside of baseball. I haven't read a lot about him. I think he was, for example, I think he was a man of faith. I think he went to church. What was he like away from baseball? What did you guys talk about besides the great game of baseball?
You know, he was a regular guy. And one of the things he understood, and this is I've sort of put it this way for others, is that because of the visit, trying to describe what was it like to be Willie Mays. Imagine yourself walking into a room with 500 people and they all know who you are and you don't know who any of them. Willie Mays, there was others who could do this, but Willie Mays could navigate through that because he understood what people sort of, you know, they didn't know what they wanted from him. The thing that was interesting, and DiMaggio was sort of the same way because he's San Franciscan, is that people would come up to him, not just kids, but grown adults would come up to him, and they'd be like blithering idiots because they didn't really know what to say. And he understood that and sort of helped put people at ease. He was most comfortable with kids because, you know, they're a little less complicated. They're so innocent. They don't have an agenda. So his greatest thing was he got a chance to be Willie Mays and to and he sort of never disappointed. I mean, he was Mike Krueger heard him say on one of the shows that, you know, he kind of grew up in the game as the kid. And when he passed away, he was still a kid. I mean, that's sort of the way he. You know, the famous images. I mean, obviously the basket catch. And when you talk to him about the basket catch, he said, look, that wasn't the greatest catch I ever made. But the thing he was proudest of was the throw that he made after that to keep a couple runners from advancing. One of the runners was Al Rosen, who tells great stories about that, too, in that 1954 World Series. So Willie had so many and a lot of the things, the basket catch and the way he would. You know, way he would run, and the years that he had McCovey batting behind him, he, you know, people say, well, why didn't you steal more bases? And he said, well, he didn't want to sort of take the bat out of McCovey's hands. So exactly. he was thinking 10 steps ahead where everybody else was, and he taught a lot of us about the game. I never actually got to see him play live. I saw him on television, and then I also saw him. You know, we had old timers games and we had some of these fantasy camps that he would come to, but where you got a chance to, to sort of see what was sort of what was left. But
can I make one quick comment? Because a lot of people don't realize this, that in the 54 World Series, they were playing at the Polo Grounds, which was really more for like horse track or horse racing. So it was kind of oval shaped, and dead center was, I think, 505 feet. So can you imagine being Vic Wertz and hitting the ball like 475 feet and having it caught? I mean, and Al Rosen probably ran around the bases twice before he finally realized.
Bobby Thompson would probably argue with you, because the shot heard around the world, hit down the line, you know, probably wouldn't have been a home run in a lot of ballparks. But, you know, hey, that's just the parks that you you got a chance to play in. So,
yeah.
But Mays was, and I think a lot of us who the stories are coming out now, because this sounds odd, but they're. It's not that he was taken for granted, but I don't think any of us who knew him ever even considered the fact that he was gonna die someday.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true. You know, the one sad part was, he played for so long, and eventually when he went to the Mets in '73, you know, he did get to play in that World Series, but unfortunately, he was, you know, 40. Well, actually, no, he was 42 years old. So
yeah.
A lot of us couldn't, you know, he's still Willie Mays, right? But I think that's when he finally realized, you know, at its time to hang it up.
Also, the consideration that maybe not today, but, you know, he had to figure out a way to make a living. I think the most he ever made as a player, I may be wrong on this, but not by much. I think the most he ever made was like $165,000 a year. And then when he left, and part of the reason he went to the Mets was Horace Stoneham, who was trying to keep the Giants afloat, who was the Giants owner at that time, had sort of wanted to take care of Willie. The owner of the Mets, Joan Payson, wanted to bring him back just sort of as a, you know, as a tribute to him. Yeah. And but I hate to say it, but part of the reason why he hung on so long, he loved the game, but he needed to figure out a way to make a living.
Well, I was told by somebody that he had a fairly decent financial advisor who got him into some good investments rather than the horror story here.
No, he did. I mean, he wasn't naive about that.
Yeah.
But you know, he went to work for, you know, the Casino Bally's, a gaming company.
Yeah.
He and Willie and Mickey Mantle both, when they left the game, and the game, you know, it was a ridiculous thing. They said.
Yeah.
You can't. He was thrown out of the game by the commissioner, Bowie Kuhn, at the time, because he was associated with gambling. And now, you know, it just seems so odd now that all sports seem to be embracing gambling. You know, maybe not wagering on your own games, but they're doing it. So, hey, look, but you know what? Even through that, Willie didn't bear a grudge to anybody.
Yeah.
Hey Pat, I don't know if you're able to do this, but I'm going to ask, did you get an opportunity to have those one-on-one lunches or dinners with Willie? And is there a conversation or something that stands out where you can share that just people don't have you didn't know anything of this happened to Willie Mays? What's something we just don't know about the man?
Well, there's a couple of things. I'll just tell a couple of quick ones. And he's, for whatever reason, I was sort of his screener for, you know, for people who were trying to get to him. And, you know, it was my unpleasant duty and pleasant duty. It was my honor at some points, but he had, you know, people were always trying to get to him, and he didn't, you know, a couple of things that were interesting. He also suffered from that condition that a lot of people get. It's called, I think it's called tinnitus in your ears, where your ears ring. And it really was something that afflicted him for many, many years. And there were a number of years where all of a sudden I would get a call from him. He was down at Stanford Hospital, and he'd go check himself in because it drove him crazy. I would get in the car and I'd drive down there, and he was okay. It's just that it's kind of like the ringing in his ears sort of drove him crazy. He also, the other funny story is that we lived fairly close to each other down on the peninsula. And he, for many years, he gave away baseballs on Halloween, and he would actually sign them. And so you can think about this. If the word gets out, that, you know, Willie Mays is giving away baseballs. So anyway, he sort of hit me up to help him get the baseballs a few times, and I brought him down there, and I actually was with him a couple of times. And here's what was funny is that the kids that will all of a sudden realize that if they change their mask or change their costume, maybe they could get a second one. Willie was so sharp that he could spot those guys, and he would just kind of shoo them away. And he would shoo their parents away for sure. But he was a and there's a million stories as a person, but he was a he didn't have extravagant tastes, you know. He was a regular guy.
Hey guys, let's go to our next break. That's great. I love that. Okay, again, here's our trivia theme. Choose the player who played in the given World Series championship team and later had their number retired by that club. All right. The 1985 Kansas City Royals. So again, I'm going to see if you guys know the answer, and then when we come back, I'll give you a multiple choice. All right? So which player played on the 1985? And unfortunately, it's not our friend Buddy Biancolana, who's a friend of ours.
I was just going to say that. Well, I mean,
they should do it, though.
That's number five, right? Is it George Brett?
I'm not going to say. I'm going to let you guys guess. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Element Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Celebrate with us. Enjoy exceptional Broadway performers and world-class wine under the starlit Sonoma sky. From theater favorites to the treasured American songbook and today's popular hits, Transcendence Theater Company presents Broadway in Sonoma, in the magical field of dreams, Steps from Sonoma Plaza, this June through September. Get your tickets today at bestnightever.org.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell, our special guest, Pat Gallagher. And here's our trivia question. The 1985 Kansas City Royals, they won the World Series. And whose number did they retire for the team? Whose number did they retire right after that? Well, when I say Pat right after. Hill.
Go ahead. Pat Hill.
Well, I don't know. My first guess was George Brett, but.
No, and here's our choices. Hal McRae, Willie Wilson, or Frank White?
Oh, man.
Willie Wilson.
Yes.
Very good. Hey, Mike.
Lucky guess. You're
the man.
Way to be.
I knew that one. Yes.
You knew that one. Okay. Let's see. So what else do we have? So, Pat, what are you doing nowadays?
You know, I was with the Giants 32 years. I was... I did a bunch of consulting after that. Some of it was in sports and some of it in, you know, other businesses. But and then I helped put the bid together for the 50th Super Bowl that was played down here at Levi's Stadium, and actually was part of the host committee and assembled the team, the cast of characters to put it on. Now they're getting ready. They're preparing for the 60th Super Bowl, which is cool. I'm not involved in that. I actually wound up writing a book about that experience, and it was a and so I'm a mentor, I'm an advisor to a couple of University of San Francisco graduate sport marketing sport management school, and then I'm doing some other sort of consulting and like I say and executive coaching, and I'm not sure why I'm good at it. But it also sort of fits in with what I want to be doing now. There's really benefits to not having a job. That means you can do sort of what you want.
Well, that's true. To me, that's what retirement is: working because you want to work, not because you have to work.
Yeah, I don't consider myself retired. I don't like that word.
I don't think I'll ever retire.
Well, to do what?
I mean, I'm not going to play golf every day and just, you know, they say if you stop working at age 65, you die within 5 years because you have that purpose in your life. You know, yeah.
Well, I've already passed by that. So anyway, so.
I saw Frankie Valli months ago and he said, I don't want to stop working. This is my passion. It's what I love to do. Yeah. And he goes, the minute guys stop working, they become old and they become happy. And as you said, it lives. So if you love what you're doing, you keep doing it. Exactly.
I know people ask me, what do I do for a living? I go, I don't know.
You're still alive. You know, it's
I do a bunch of stuff.
You know, the thing about sports is if when you're involved in it as a business, you know, it's like most of it's a very competitive business, and you sort of have your time, and then it becomes somebody else's time, whether you're a player or a front office executive or whatever, and you can sort of move on and do other things. But you know, it's a highly competitive business in every respect, not just on the field.
And the thing is, when you're a fan, you get to just enjoy the game. When you're working as you're working, even though it's like, oh, great, you're into sports. But the thing is, you're thinking about your job, and it's a job rather than.
Look, I was never blasé about it. I mean, when somebody said, you know, when somebody said they wanted to talk about it, I didn't sort of clam up. I said, well, let me tell you what I know about it and how it feels and what it's all about and all that stuff. Because, you know, our kids grew up all the time and worked for the Giants. And I was so privileged. And, you know, we raised our family down on the peninsula, you know, right sort of in the heart of Silicon Valley. And I'd go to these events, all these guys that were 100 times richer than I was. But for whatever reason, people wanted to talk to me because I was the baseball guy. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, I coined this phrase, imagination sensation. That's you. I mean, where did you come up with these awesome things like, you know, the crazy crab,
the aquatic candlestick.
Crazy crab. Well, I mean, that's just awesome.
Desperation.
That's just beautiful.
Desperation is the mother of invention, I think.
Yeah, desperation. Did you come up with Lucille?
What?
Did you come up with Lucille?
Well, the big thing about Lucille, I was sort of against, but I was prevailed upon by others to say, no, we need some kind of a mascot for kids. And I go, okay. But I didn't participate in figuring out what the name was. And so Lucille, you know, it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's actually sort of fit. So my contribution was to help. I didn't come up with it, but to find a person to help us do that. And look, I think if I had any talent, it was recognizing the creative ability of others that could help formulate these things. And, you know, some of the great copywriters and other stuff in the ad business that I used, you know, we would figure out a strategy. And usually if you're in the ad business, you would recommend something to your client. I was the client, but I sort of crossed them up because they always would recommend like three alternatives. Here's the safe one. Here's the one in the middle. And here's the one that they'll never go for, like the crazy crab. They'll never go for it. And one of the writers, he said, we never thought you were actually going to buy this idea. And
well, that's
I saw Bob Lurie recently, who's still doing great at 95 years old.
Wow.
And he is, I said, the only reason we were able to do that stuff is because, you know, because I had to get it all approved. I said, it was your bad judgment that allowed us to do those things. Don't blame me. But you know what? It was so much fun. It was all about trying to create interest. And that's what we were trying to do. And, you know, it was just, that was the coolest thing about the job, was the ability to make it fun.
Well, and the crazy crab, that was the mascot everybody loved to hate.
Well, it wasn't even designed as a mascot. It started off, we had this whole campaign that Giants fans are different. You know, that our theme was hang in there, which only promises that we're going to stay till the end of the game and the players are going to do the same. So it was trying to show that Giants fans had this grit and determination that, you know, they didn't really, I don't think, but to put up with Candlestick Park. So the crab, we did a survey that said, if we introduced a mascot, you know, like the San Diego Chicken or the Philly Fanatic or some of these fuzzy other Muppet-like mascots, would you boo it? And 63% of the people we surveyed said, yeah, we'd boo it. So it started out as a television commercial. Only idea, this is 1984, was to prove that, once again, the Giants fans are different. They wouldn't put up with something as stupid as a mascot. Yeah. And so we portrayed it that they were, you know, booing the mascot. And so after about a week of running this television commercial, we figured, well, what the heck? We actually have this costume. Why don't we just put it on the field and see what happens? And sure enough, just as we conditioned people to do, he would go out and do his little shtick, and people would boo him off the field. And it became a shtick. One of the reasons why it worked was Frank Robinson was our manager, you know, legendary tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Frank was another guy who really understood what business we were in. And he says, no, I get what you're trying to do here. So he, you know, he actually manhandled a crab and pushed him off the field. It was sort of part of the act, but you know, it lasted for 1 year. That was, what was that, 40 years ago, 1984?
Yeah.
And people still talk about it. ESPN did this little 30 by 30 short documentary about it called The Anti-Mascot. If you search, you can find it. So, it was one of those things that it was just fun. It was ridiculous. It would never, ever be approved again. Never.
Well, you know, I still remember because Candlestick Park, for those who don't know, was just extremely cold at night, and if it went into extra innings, didn't they give you some kind of a pin?
No, we gave the aquatic candlestick was a little orange button that had an SF that had icicles from it, and you would get that as an award for doing the most courageous thing that a Giants fan could do, which was staying until the end of an extra inning night game.
Exactly.
You had to earn it, which is totally ridiculous. But
anyway, so
we gave those away, and you still see, you know, Giants fans who have these things like little battle ribbons on their caps, and you can look on eBay, and you know, you can see them there. But the whole idea, we were in the fun business.
Yeah.
That's what it was supposed to be. It was competition and serious, but also at Candlestick, it was a difficult thing. It was such a difficult place to play and difficult place to be a fan that for the first couple of years, I would try this approach where I'd say, hey, come on out and bring your family and all that stuff. And it was just, you know, it was ridiculous. So we decided to try to deal with it with humor and exaggerate it. The commercial showed Candlestick like Valley Forge or Bastogne. I mean, it wasn't. People said, well, wait a minute. It's cold, but it's not that cold. So, but it sort of took the edge off a bit. And I don't know that it would work in any other area other than the Bay Area. People sort of got the joke.
Gotcha. Hey, you know, Pat, either you must have a philosophy of fun. I mean, because there's no way that you're doing what you're doing unless you're having fun. And tell us about your imagination. I keep bringing that up, but I know you've got to have this wild, creative sense inside of you.
I'm a business guy, and I'm a sales guy, marketing guy, and you look for things. I was just trying to sell tickets. I was trying to, I mean, if you boiled my job down, I was trying to get rear ends into seats. I mean, that was the basic piece of it. And, you know, you were trying to make the games fun and a little outlandish.
If you think about it, you know, until you got like the late 80s where you had Will Clark and all that. I mean, when you have a team that's subpar, it's really hard to want to go out to the game. Can you imagine? Like, remember Tampa Bay for years had such bad. I mean, they got 1,100 people.
It was terrible. And, you know, first of all, when you're dreaming up these things, trying to figure out how are we going to sell this thing? You don't really know how good or how lousy the team's going to be.
Sure.
So in March, April, and May, which is when we put a lot of the emphasis on the advertising and the thematic stuff, is that if you were going to be bad, people didn't know how bad yet. So that was the opportunity, the time when you could maybe convince some people to buy tickets. So and sometimes, you know, I mean, we tried all kinds of things, but sometimes, like you mentioned, that team with Will Clark and Robbie Thompson in 1986. Yeah. You know, that came off the season where we lost 100 games, 1985. Yeah. And so Al Rosen's philosophy was in players, it was like addition by subtraction. He says, look, we can finish in last place without any of you guys. So if you're not happy, you're gone. And then he brought some people up that nobody had heard about. But all of a sudden, so the theme of that year, and I didn't come up with it, but I was just listening, was Al said, you know, you sort of got to like these kids. Right? And so that became our theme. And what we were trying to do was get people to sort of stay off their backs while they were learning how to play. Well, actually, they wound up being pretty good. And, 86, and then 87, the Giants won the division. So you never know. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
The Cardinals, and that was very frustrating for me. I still remember that when they lost to the Cardinals. Okay, hey, guys, we're going to go to our last trivia theme question here. All right. So, again, just to remind the audience, choose the player who played on the given World Series champion team and later had their number retired by that club. All right. The 2005 White Sox. Who did they retire based on them winning the World Series? If I remember correctly, they beat the Houston Astros. Back then, the Astros were in the National League. Right, they got later on. They changed over to the American League. That was a good luck charm for them. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. When we come back, we're going to have our thoughts for the day and some closing comments.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. we provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell and our special guest, Pat Gallagher. All right, guys, third trivia question. So we're talking the 2005 White Sox. Choose the player who played on that team who later had their number retired by the club. See if you can just throw out a guess.
Go, Mike.
Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas. Was he on back then?
White Sox.
I remember the big hurt was on. So he did win a World Series. Okay. Love that guy. Okay, so here's our choices. Orlando Hernandez, Mark Buehrle, or AJ Pierzynski.
Well, I can tell you, if it's AJ Pierzynski, I'll protest. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, that was kind of frustrating. I still remember him kind of moving in the way, doing the old Dick Dietz thing that, where the ball hits you, right? Yeah. Okay, you have choice of those three guys. Pick one.
Go ahead. Is it AJ?
It's not AJ, no.
Buehrle.
Buehrle, yeah. It was Mark Buehrle. I know. Wow. I'm trying to think. I mean, he was good, but boy, they retire players pretty easily here. All right. So, Pat, thanks for joining us. And here's our thoughts for the day. So, I think they picked me for my motivational skills. Everyone always says that they have to work twice as hard when I'm around. And except that some days you're the pigeon and some days you're the statue. Unfortunately. All right, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.